friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
What did you see on Sunday against the Bengals that went against maybe some of your preconceived notions, or maybe verified your preconceived notions about what the Browns were going to look like this season? And did it change your mind on anything? Did you, were there things that happened in Sunday's game that just said, yep, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen, or wow, that really surprised me? Jeff.
I was hopeful that the defense would look more like it did in 2023 than it did in 2024. And not that the defense was atrocious in 2024. It just wasn't as dominant. That, to me, Andy, was the best thing that happened in the game. That was outstanding. I mean, look at what you did against a really good offense in Cincinnati. And the Browns defense did a terrific job. And it had some help from the offense controlling the ball for a good portion of the game. But I thought the defense was terrific. And to me, that sets a really good tone going into the rest of the start of this stretch with these six games. Now, you get some really nasty opponents, but you have a defense that can compete at a really high level. And to me, that's the absolute positive that comes out of this game. That defense did a great job against one of the better offenses in the NFL.
They continue, and I said this yesterday, Myles Garrett, I think, is 12 of his 104 and a half sacks. I think he has 12 against Joe Burrow alone. So,
well, he does play him twice a year.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that's like, and no one has more sacks against Joe Burrow than he does, but you're right, they do play twice a year. But again, I still think that Myles is in Joe's head when they play against each other. I don't have any question on that. And I've actually talked to other reporters about it. A couple of reporters from Cincinnati were like, yeah, you're 100% right. And I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't sure about it. Because I still think Joe had a pretty good perspective on the fact that they kind of didn't win the game on their own. They just kind of did just enough to have more points than the Browns. And the Browns beat themselves. Remember, and I know we've talked about this before, we were talking to somebody who played for the Ravens at one point, and they said, you know, if you just go out there and field a football team and try to execute and maybe get a touchdown here or there, the Browns will find a way to beat themselves. That has been the mantra of this organization since 99. The question for the Browns, I think, going into this week was, when they walk into Berea yesterday, are the veterans saying, same old story, it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter if the offense plays well enough to win, it doesn't matter if the defense looks amazing and plays the game of their lives, we're still going to find a way to lose. Something crazy is going to happen to us, and we're not going to win games. And you know, it's just, it's football. You just don't know what's going to happen. And some weeks, bad teams beat good teams. But the Browns beat themselves on Sunday. So let me go back to the original question. And did it hammer home any preconceived notions about the Browns? No. The Browns continue to give you 16 points per game, much like they did last year. League worst average for offense. In the league, they gave you exactly what you should have expected from last year, except for the fact that I think Joe Flacco put them in a position to win offensively. He threw the ball 45 times.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's good or if that's bad.
Normally that's bad, isn't it?
I would expect he's probably going to throw more than we'd want him to. And I don't mean because of Joe. The one thing that really hurt is that they just, like a lot of teams, though, in week one, ran the ball poorly. Like the Fighting Dan Campbells up in Detroit averaged about 2 yards a carry as well. Mm-hmm. That wasn't good.
So when you look at this thing, the quarterback question, like, to me, gets murkier as the season goes on. And that's the problem I have with Sunday's game. That Flacco could do this for 17 weeks. And he'll give you a chance to win every week. I just don't know what we're learning for the future. And I do think, and I'm probably one of the few that thinks that Flacco could play here for at least 2 years. That's me. I just think the rules have put him in a position to say, yep, yeah, I know he's starting at 40. I think he could start at 41 as well. But if you know next year you've got those first two picks, what are you doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? That's the question. And, you know, I want them to walk into the season and ride Flacco as long as they can, as long as they believe he can win and still give them some kind of hope that there would be a postseason. But we're all looking at these first six games, and maybe we should stop doing that. Maybe we should just look at the Ravens and forget about everything else. I just don't think, like, I think that's the way Kevin Stefanski has to look at it. Okay, Ravens. The front office definitely has to look at it from what's going on beyond. And Flacco may play well enough to give you the opportunity to win every week, and you may not play him because you've got rookies because you're going to need to see what you've got. I hate it. I absolutely hate walking into a season thinking that, but I think that's the hardest part about this game right now. If they win, it's easy to put the rookies on the back burner and say, yeah, you know, other rookies, let them, we'll figure it out, and it doesn't matter if it's Gabriel or if it's Sanders. You know, those guys are still going to learn. But Joe's helping us win, so why would we walk away from that right now?
Well, he's not helping you win yet.
No, I'm just saying if they won, but they didn't. So now, at some point, they're going to have to start the engine on the young guys. And I just, the longer that takes, the better they're playing on the season.
Can we hold off on that?
I'd like to hold off on that, Jeff, but that's what the season is about. And Joe looked good. I thought Joe looked good on Sunday. I think Joe can start all 17 games. The politics of this game and the pressure of this game are what are making me think, I don't get too excited about it.
I'm not even worried about seeing the young guys. I should be, and I'm not. Because when they traded Kenny Pickett, I thought he was the guy who might be the guy who shows you have a quarterback for the next 5 years, more so than Gabriel or Sanders. So the minute that they traded him and they started Joe, I just thought, all right, well, they're taking a quarterback next year. And I can't think of anything that's going to change my mind because I don't think they're going to go to the young guys early enough to solidify, boy, that guy's awesome. That's your guy right there. Either Dylan or Shadur. I don't think they're going to get enough sample size to convince you that they're locked in as your starter that would make you pass up the opportunity to take one of the highly thought of college quarterbacks coming out this year. You know what I mean by that? I mean, I don't think you're going to get enough sample size to pass up one of those guys. And by the way, we'll be going over those guys coming up about 11:40.
Okay.
Our little college update on the guys the Browns might draft next year.
Oh.
Why? Because it's essential. I think that's where they are.
Yeah, but people get mad when we want to start talking little bit about the future.
That's all right.
It's hard to lean. I do believe in Joe. I'll be honest. It's hard to lean into what the future holds here. Because that's a game they should have won. They should have won Sunday. And so if you're... Let me back this out a little. What were your preconceived notions going into the game, Jeff? What were they?
Preconceived notions?
About what this team is.
It was a question about the defense, and I think they answered it. This defense could be pretty good. That was my biggest question going into the season. My second was, what would the wide receivers look like? I honestly think it's still up in the air. We're going to talk about it a little more in depth later, but I know the three plays by wide receivers, four if you want to include Harold Fannin in there, four plays, any one of them might have cost you the game. The two balls that were tipped up by Judy and Tillman that were intercepted, and the two drops by Fannin and Judy on third and five and fourth and five. You execute any one of those plays differently in a positive way for the Browns, you might win the game. That might be the difference.
It's true.
And so along with the kicker missing two kicks, if those guys make those plays, that's the same thing as the kicker missing the kick. I think we all need to understand that. You know, it's so easy to blame a kicker because there's, you know, it's 36 yards, make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extra point, make it. You know, and the extra point would have just tied the game, so you don't know how that's going to do. But the field goal would have won it, perhaps. But the same thing if that ball doesn't get tipped up by Tillman, if that ball doesn't get tipped up by Judy, if Fannin hangs on the third and five. So any one of those six plays, any one of them, if it got executed, could have changed the game. To me, those are player mistakes that can be rectified. Big picture, the defense showed me that it can compete. If the defense had gone out and given up 45 points to the Bengals, there's a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Defense didn't. Defense was good.
No.
That means we got a chance to be in every game. We'll see if they can do the same thing against a Baltimore team.
It's just mind-boggling to me to think that the Browns lost a game where T. Higgins only had three catches for 33 yards, where Ja'Marr Chase only had two catches for 26 yards, and they didn't win.
Joe Burrow threw for under 120 yards, Andy.
Yeah, and so I just...
I mean, how do you lose that game?
Yeah,
how do you lose that game? By making mistakes.
As I laid it out, and I was thinking about, okay, what were my preconceived notions going into this? One, I thought that Flacco would give you enough to win. He did. I thought the defense was going to be good. I didn't think they were going to be as good as advertised.
They were better than advertised in one game. At least
they were better than. That's what I'm saying. This is a compliment, not a dig.
Yeah, they were as good as we hoped they would be.
Yeah. And if they stop Joe Burrow from bunny hopping out of the end zone, or the referee throws the flag on a holding call on the safety, which should have been a safety, they win. And sometimes you might say, well, the defense is going to have to win this game for us. Man, they did everything but, right? They missed one tackle inside the end zone on Joe Burrow, and they would have actually pulled that thing off. Oh, man. It's frustrating. Now, as we get into today, it's even more frustrating than it was yesterday for the reason why they lost. But all right, go back to the preconceived notion on this. I thought the Browns front four would look good, and they look great. They really did. I mean, all four of those guys look great. I was concerned about the offensive line. I am worried about aging on that offensive line. You know, you get a guy hurt on the offensive line. Now you're trying to plug things in. It's hard. That offensive line's got to do more to help establish a running game. And the running backs have to do more. I don't know how much pressure you're going to put on Quinshon Judkins to be Mr. Everything, to be Nick Chubb, because he's not going to be. Not week one, especially when he's got 1 week of practice. So when you look at it...
That's assuming he even plays.
Yeah. So when you look at it, you have to ask yourself, okay, I thought this going into the season. They've had one game to change my mind. Did they? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call. We'll talk about that. Mary Kay Cabot coming up at 11 o'clock.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Mary Kay Cabot coming up in about 15 minutes or so. So stick around. We'll be talking to Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. And she'll give us her weekly perspective on what we saw from the Browns and what's good, what's bad, what's in between, and where are they moving forward. And, you know, still questions about the kicker. So it pains me that we're talking about a kicker, which means that both sides of the ball played pretty well on Sunday and they didn't do well enough to win. But you're leaving points on the board. Although, Jeff, I think you did make some good points in that first segment about...
Oh, gee, thanks, Andy.
That's why you're here. Can you make some bad points for me, too? I wouldn't mind that.
I give it time.
Just talking about missed opportunities on certain plays and drop passes. And so we're going to talk about the wide receivers a little bit later. Maybe a little bit after we talk to Mary Kay. Because, you know, the numbers, when you look at the wide receivers, I think they're a little deceiving. And we'll get into that in a little bit. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. All right, did you see something on Sunday that hammered home any preconceived notions you had about the Browns going into this thing? Did it change your mind on anything? The only thing it solidified for me, Jeff, is that I think they're going to be in every game this season. Whether they win or not is going to depend on five or six plays. I have a feeling Jeff, I feel like if the defense played the way they did on Sunday, and the Browns can, they don't even have to score. If they just hang on to the ball,
Remember,
get a couple first downs. That's all they need to do. They will be in every game this year.
Remember, a week or two ago, I said the problem with this team is there are too many things that make you say if. You just said another one. If the defense plays like it did. Okay, we hope it will. I think it could, but again, there's another if. We don't have a whole lot of definitive answers about this team. It's only one game, but you also won just three last year, so you're not going into this season with very many definitive answers. We'll see if they can get some. If you go out, Andy, this Sunday against a good Baltimore Ravens team that everybody thinks might be the most talented roster in the NFL, just put up 40 points in a game that they should have had against Buffalo.
And looked horrible defensively in the fourth quarter.
They didn't look good. If you go out and you hold Baltimore to 20 or fewer points, then I'll agree with you. That defense is going to keep you in most every game this year. This is going to be another big challenge. Might be a bigger challenge because, you know, it was pass defense in this game, pretty much, correct? You had to shut down Chase. You had to shut down Higgins. And you had to contain Burrow throwing the ball. Well, you did.
But they did find Noah Fant. I will say that.
And they didn't. Well, they only scored 17 points.
No, I know.
And the Bengals didn't run the ball real well. Well, Chase Brown is just fine, but he's not Derrick Henry. So if you can slow down Derrick Henry, and who does that? And you can hold that Baltimore offense to 20 or fewer points or 23, even 21, 23, whatever. If you hold them down, and now that'll be telling. That will eliminate an if.
But it's still, I think the defense is going to keep them in every game. You know, maybe something happens in the fourth quarter where they give up or they're tired and exhausted because the offense didn't stay out on the field long enough to give those guys a break. But I think they can stay in every game. I just don't know how many games they're going to win. That's all. And they're competitive enough just to keep you hanging around. I think that's the way it's going to be all season. I don't know that hanging around meaning playoffs. I mean hanging around in every game, thinking they have an opportunity to win. We'll see. Jim is in Strongsville. He leads things off this morning. Hi, Jim. How are you?
What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Andy, you're 100% right, but there's a couple things I think that are just true here. I think the first thing that's true is I don't necessarily think the Browns need it. I'm going to refer to them this way because I think we need to start to. I think we need to forget the names. I don't need to see what a third-round draft pick quarterback or a fifth-round draft pick quarterback can give me. I think there's a 99.9% chance that neither of them are the answer. If you selected a third-rounder and a fifth-rounder thinking that they were the answer, then you need to have your head examined at the front office. I think the value in this season is in competing for all 17 games. You got to look at the developments you're going to have from these young kids on the defense, on the offense, actually going out there and competing. When you throw the white flag out there, that hurts these kids' development. I want these kids to be competing in every game. That's what the good teams do. They go out and they try to win every game, and then at the end of the season, wherever the chips may fall, that's where they go. I don't see Pittsburgh or any of these other good organizations say, I got to throw the kid out there, see what we got. They don't do that. They don't do that because they're in the mode of winning every week. And so, no, I think it's a long shot that either of these quarterbacks. So I don't know why we're – I'm not saying that you are, but I don't know why people are obsessed with, well, we got to see what we got. Why? Chances are they're not the answer. Look around the league. Where are the third-round and fifth-round quarterbacks that are lighting it up around the league? They're not there.
Let me frame it like this for you then, Jim. So would you be good with Flacco starting all 17 games and then them just drafting a quarterback next year, right?
I think 100%, no matter what.
I think in the real world, that's how it goes down.
They're drafting one, Jim, right? There's no question.
Yes. What does it matter what you see from these guys? It's not going to change.
Exactly right.
Enough to change anything.
That's exactly right. I hate to even say that, but it's true. You know, if one of them plays, if Joe gets hurt.
And Jim, I'll leave you on the line a little longer just because you're normally part of these conversations sometimes. But I just like,
guy.
I know, but I. Don't you think that Gabriel is here to be the number two quarterback for a while, as long as Stefanski's the coach and Barry's the GM?
Yes, but it reminds me of the Family Guy episode when Peter selects the mystery box.
Okay.
It could be a boat. Or you could have a boat, but the mystery box could be a boat. They're mystery boats. They're mystery boxes. They're probably not going to work out. All it does is feed the that little flicker of hope you have way deep down in your heart that, oh my God, maybe we got this one in a billion. Maybe this is going to happen. It's not worth hurting the development of all those other young players on the roster to see what you hit them for that one opportunity at that flicker of light.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Checking in from Strongsville. 216-474-0092. Did you see something on Sunday that hammered home any preconceived notions you had about the Browns? Brian is in Cleveland. Hi, Bri.
Yeah, I had some preconceived notions that Andrew Berry should have been fired a long time ago. I mean, I look at the great Patriots teams or good Patriots teams for about 20 years. 10 years they had Vinatieri. 10 years they had Gostkowski. They never lost games because the stinking kicker. It baffles me. It really does. And, you know, this guy threw a bunch of money at Hopkins at one point. I mean, it is. And then we turn around and we draft in the third round a midget quarterback who is at best a second string quarter. I don't get it. We need so much on this team, and he continues to get a pass. And you guys give him a pass.
I don't know. What do you want me to say? They don't have a quarterback. They made a major mistake when they brought Deshaun Watson in here, and they gave up 3 first round picks.
We've talked about bad drafting, and I don't think Andrew's done a really good job drafting. I hope this year's different.
Brian, thanks. Mark, Akron, go for it. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Morning, Mark. Good.
Good. I'm going to use a dangerous word in Cleveland. I feel optimistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, just with some of, like, so I'm a Bowling Green alum, so it's a little biased here, but Fannin Jr. just looked like a stud. And I had a feeling he was going to come out and be a difference maker, but I was not expecting Samson to come out the way he did. And honestly, that makes me feel a little bit better moving forward as far as some of the weapons we have on the team.
What do you think?
We'll see. I'm not convinced about the weapons. I still need to see some things. I liked Harold. I thought one thing I liked about what he did is I thought they schemed some pretty creative stuff for him. And he looks like a guy. He looks like a guy who can play in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. The running backs, Samson looked good, I thought. At the very least, these guys look like, boy, I want to see more of this. I want to see what they can do with this guy. But to me, they're still a wide receiver or two shy. I think they need they need another guy there. But I also have some thoughts about the wide receivers that I'm a Cedric Tillman fan. And we'll if they can bring somebody else in or if somebody else can develop, if Bond can become something, maybe they're okay there. But think about it now, if Tillman or Judy went down. My God.
Here's the other thing.
It'd be a mess, you'd think.
Well, and if they think, and this is where I think Fannin plays into it, and thank you, Mark, that if they're going to play this, we're not really going to take a lot of shots downfield, that we're going to keep it close and just keep moving the sticks and try to eat some clock and keep doing that. Look at what they did from the tight end position. They had 100 yards out of Fannin and Njoku in this game. And so between them two, Fannin had 7 catches and Njoku had 3. So they got, 100 yards in 10 plays there between the two guys and all kinds. I mean, most of the time, a tight end's going to be a short yardage pass. You're not looking for anything gigantic out of a tight end. So if that's the formula for success, you can see that that's what they were trying to do. I think it was there, other than Fannin dropping that one pass that was crucial, I thought he played a great game.
I was texting with our buddy, Coach Lance Reisland, today. Mm-hmm. And
ding!
Is it a ding when you're texting with guys who work at the station?
Yep.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Lance and I were texting, and he said he was done breaking down. And Lance is a former Kent State quarterback and coach at Garfield Heights. And he said, Browns used a ton of motion, bunch formations, and it created a real clear picture for Flacco. He thought it was very refreshing. And I said, was it a conservative play by design? He said, no, Flacco took what the defense gave him. He said he played smart, not conservatively.
Hmm.
So he didn't think it was a conservative game plan. He thought Flacco made the right calls, but did think it was a perfect game plan, well called, well executed. Also said you can't dominate Joe Burrow like that and lose a game.
He's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we all thought that. Okay, let's come back. We'll bring in Mary Kay Cabot. She'll break down the game, too. We'll see what she thought about just everything that happened and should they be looking for a new kicker. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Mary Kay Cabot joins us next, right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.